Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Konnichiwa, Anjin-san. Oh, welcome to No Compromise Radio. My name's Steve Cooley. I'm the Tuesday guy. Konnichiwa is just a greeting in Japanese. I'm just trying to show that I'm, you know, multi-languaged. I don't even know what that means. Okay, anyway. Pastor Mike is on vacation, so I get to steal his seat, look at his gross coffee mug again, just kind of stare at it, marvel at it, and welcome to No Compromise Radio on WVNE and NoCompromiseRadio.com. You can email me at TuesdayGuy@NoCompromiseRadio.com. Well, last week I said, you know, I just want to clarify a couple things from last week when I was talking about anime and manga, and I just wanted to say this. As a parent, I think you always have to ask yourself, am I preparing my child to be not only a responsible adult, but a father or a mother? Am I raising my child in a way that they will be able to instruct their own kids someday, Lord willing, you know, in the Bible? And I think we really have to be balanced. And believe me, I'm not a legalist at all. But I think we have to be very cautious when we enter into some forms of entertainment and when we indulge our kids too much. I think there always has to be a fine line. But anyway, if you have any questions about last week's episode, I'd be happy to handle those. Please email me. But today I want to talk about a man named Reinhard Bonnke. And some of you are probably going, who's he? Well, he is an evangelist. And I have, this is somewhat dated, it's from 2013, the end of 2013, Christianity Today. And listen to this, in his career of 54 years, Reinhard Bonnke has encountered jealous rivals, angry witch doctors, violent thunderstorms, corrupt heads of state, and rioting Muslims. But this fall, the global evangelist journeyed on uncharted ground, his first revival in the United States. In shifting his schedule to include U.S. audiences, he must overcome a major obstacle. In 2000, Reinhard Bonnke preached to 1.6 million people attending a single meeting in Lagos, Nigeria. But as he steps on U.S. shores, few Americans have ever heard of him. Well, I want you to be aware of who he is, and there's a reason for that. And one of the reasons is I'm familiar with him. I've seen him on TBN. I happen to have a fairly low view of him, and maybe the reasons why will become apparent as I press on about this. Listen to this. For the past 30 years, his organization, CFAN, has relied heavily on funds from American donors. In 1995, Bonnke told Christianity Today he had no interest in preaching in a land with around-the-clock Christian television. He's referring to TBN. As I said, I've seen him on that, and right away, my kind of antenna go up because TBN is really not 24-hour Christian television. You can turn that on and see people who deny the Trinity. You can see people who are Roman Catholics. You can see people who say they're Christians, but clearly, clearly are not. There are all kinds of issues with TBN, but I don't want to really focus on that. He says, Bonnke says, the Lord made the need for an evangelist shift evident to him last year. Now listen, quote, God told me, danger, Will Robinson. That should right away make you think, what is this guy all about? God told me that he had not sent me to America just to be the offering plate for Africa. In other words, not to just raise money for Africa. And he says, I've seen a new generation growing up in America that knows very little about the gospel of salvation. It must be preached. Well, I agree, and I agree. Now, the question is, what are the contents of that? Now, listen to this a little bit. He says, with his signature proclamation. This is a quote. This is his tagline, in other words. Quote, hell empty, heaven full. That's pretty amazing. Because what did Jesus say in Matthew 7? You know, narrow is the road that leads, or the way that leads to salvation. There will be who find it. And what? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. In other words, Jesus said, few will find heaven. And he said in Matthew 22, many are called, but few are chosen. You know, there's a broad call that goes out, but few actually are chosen by God and will actually come to know him. But he says, hell empty, heaven full. That's a problem. Then he says, this article goes on to say that he shows no fear treading where few Christians venture because of violence, strife, or extreme poverty. Now, that's all true. And frankly, I don't want to go to Africa mostly because my body wouldn't put up with it. I mean, I have a hard enough time just handling life, period, but let alone a 20-hour trip or whatever to Africa. So, you know, kudos to him for being willing to go there in light of all the violence, the disease, all the poverty over there and everything else. He escaped murder plots of Islamist extremists. Listen to this, but refuses to demonize Muslims or Islam. Quote, I do not preach against religions. I preach Christ. Well, I think that's great, except that Titus tells us that we must exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Now, I would dare to say that that would include Muslims and the religion of Islam. And given that there are over a billion, I think there's something like 1.2 or 1.4 billion Muslims in the world, that we have a lot of refuting to do as teachers of the gospel. He said, the article goes on to say, crowds typically grow during a week-long revival when word spreads about miracles. Now, again, this is a problem for me because we know that a miracle is a work of God. In fact, I'll just give you my brief off the top of my head definition of a miracle. A miracle is God interposing himself, that is, interjecting himself into the space-time continuum and doing what only God can do. In other words, violating the quote-unquote rules of nature because he wrote those rules. He can change them. He can make a day longer if he wants to. He can make the water, you know, violate gravity if he wants. In other words, stand up so that the children of Israel can walk across the Red Sea. He can bring the dead back to life. God is in control. It's his universe. He does what he wants, and if he wants to go against the normal progression of things, then he can do that. But when we're talking about a miracle happening at events, well, then I would like to see some of those miracles. He goes on, and again, he says, I'm talking about Islam, I do not consider those who oppose us as enemies, because Jesus died for them as much as he died for me. Again, I think we have an issue with that. You know, in John 10, Jesus says he lays down his life for the sheep, and he talks about how the sheep hear his voice, the sheep follow him, and it's the sheep, the sheep, the sheep, because there's a special relationship between Jesus and those who are saved that does not exist with everyone else. But for that to... All that aside here, in 2000, he preached to 1.6 million people attending a single meeting in Lagos, Nigeria. And nearly 1.1 million of those accepted Jesus as Savior. Now, that's pretty remarkable. That is really remarkable, if it's true. He goes on to say, I still have only one sermon. I preach the simple ABCs of the gospel. Well, I think, again, this is interesting to me because we have the entire contents of the Bible. Why would even an evangelist have only one message? And sure, you want people to get saved, but then what? Did Jesus in the Great Commission say, you know what, go out and just preach the ABCs of the gospel? No, he said, make disciples. Well, how do you do that? There has to be life on life. And what this guy's saying is, you know what? I just preach one message and then, and we'll see this as it all develops, then I send them back to whatever church they go to and it doesn't really matter to me. That's his approach. We see it right here. Since his early years, Bonnke has brought or sought the cooperation of a wide spectrum of Christian denominations. CFEN, again, his organization, lined up 150 churches in Orlando. I can guarantee you, I've been to Orlando on a number of occasions. I can guarantee you, if you went to 150 different churches in Orlando, not only would you not hear the same thing taught, so there would be some disparate, some differences of opinion, but there would not be a clear gospel presentation made in all 150 of those churches. So let's say I'm Reinhard Bonnke, and I'm doing this evangelism thing in Orlando, and people come forward and they make their professions of faith. I'm going to blindly send them back to places where I know the gospel's not even preached. That's responsible or irresponsible. I can't even understand that. This article goes on to say it's going to compare him to Billy Graham and, you know, just talking about how he's kind of the successor to Billy Graham. One man says this, the reason people do not know about him, this is a man from the Wheaton College, the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College, Lon Allison, he's the executive director there. He says, the reason people don't know about Bonnke is that the divide is wide between Orthodox evangelicals and our charismatic and Pentecostal friends. It's not an intentional divide. It's just that there are different camps in a very big Christian world. Yes, there are. There are people who want to focus on the spectacular, these alleged sign gifts and talk about miracles and all these other kind of things and kind of set aside, if I may say it this way, biblical teaching, because people are looking for an experience and not for the Bible. And then there are people who just want to preach the word of God per 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. So I tend to be of the preach the word camp because that's what the Bible calls gospel ministers to. That's what he calls New Testament pastors to. Candy Gunther Brown, a charismatic Pentecostal historian at the University of Indiana, questions whether Bonnke's old-fashioned traditional techniques of evangelism can transcend a culture saturated with high-tech media preaching. And she compares Africa to the United States and whatnot. But here's a supporter. Let's see if I can find this person's name. There we go. H. Vincent Sinan, Dean Emeritus of Regent University's School of Divinity. I think that, I'll think of the guy's name who's associated with Regent University. But anyway, oh, Pat Robertson. This is a quote from them. He will go down as the greatest mass evangelist of all time, even greater than Billy Graham as far as numbers of converts and huge crowds that hear him speak. He goes on to say, I saw the greatest miracles I've ever seen. Blind people received sight. People got up out of wheelchairs. I said this before. I'm going to say it again. This is my personal opinion. If I could do that, or if I thought that God was so working through me to perform miracles like that, I would consider myself cruel and inhumane if I didn't go to the veterans' hospitals, if I didn't go to the children's hospitals, if I didn't go to cancer wards and just heal and heal and heal and heal. So why is it that you can only get healed when you go to a Reinhard Bonnke crusade? Why is it that it takes this mass crowd and this mass euphoria to get a miracle to happen? That's, I think, a reasonable question. Article goes on to say, many quote-unquote decisions for Christ involve backslidden believers rededicating their commitment to live for the Lord. You know what? I don't even understand that per se. I mean, I think it's just bad nomenclature, bad terminology. But let's just put it this way. If you are a Christian and you realize you're in sin, which is, you know, translated, that means you're backslidden. That's what some people want to call it. You realize that you're in sin, you repent and you put off your sin and you go forward, recognizing that you've not lived the life that is worthy of the Lord who saved you. So I don't know about the whole concept of rededication. You know, that sounds to me like I haven't been doing my best. Now I'm going to do my best. That's Christianity by self-improvement kind of thing. And that's just wrong. God doesn't love the Christian more based on their obedience. God loves the Christian so much that he sent his son to die for him. So I reject that kind of terminology. Sinan goes on to say, Muslims are converting because they are healed in Jesus' name. They go to these meetings, they get healed, and they become Christians because of the healings. How about because they believe that they need a savior, one who died for their sins? How about that? How about they believe in one who lived a perfect, righteous life that they couldn't live, and now that righteousness has been accounted to them, and so that they can stand before God on Judgment Day blameless because they have the righteousness of Christ. That's what we need. It's not, I don't like the idea that people are blinded, that they're crippled, that they're sick or whatever, but all those things, all those physical infirmities are going to be healed one day. They're going to be healed in heaven if you believe. And so all this stuff that focuses on the here and now concerns me greatly because I think it obscures one single fact. Your biggest problem, my biggest problem before I got saved was not my physical infirmity. It was my spiritual deadness. I could call it my spiritual infirmity, except for I don't think that does enough. I was spiritually dead, unable to do anything good to please God, to even believe on him. It was only after he called me, after he drew me, after he regenerated me, after he removed the scales from my eyes so that I could see the greatness of Christ, so that I could see what he had done, so I could see myself for who I really was, a wretched sinner in need of salvation. All these physical things, while they're wonderful, if they're true, are really not the focus. The focus is on being forgiven for our sins. That's the focus. Not all Christian scholars, this article goes on to say, are so enthusiastic. Grant Wacker, professor of Christian history at Duke Divinity School, saw Bonnke preach in Oslo in 1992. Now that's some history there, right? 22 years ago. He found Bonnke to be a charismatic preacher in every sense of the word. This is a quote from Wacker. At the conclusion, hundreds of people ran to the front for healing and to have demons exorcised, recalls Grant. Yet Wacker rejected the sermon's emphasis, or the sermon emphasis he sensed Bonnke projecting. Bonnke's God, he says, was a God of terror. His world was filled with demons and demonic powers. I think this is the focus of far too many charismatics, far too many of those of the charismatic persuasion. This kind of ubiquitousness of Satan, that Satan's everywhere, that his demons are everywhere, that they're in your head, that they're whispering in your ear, that they're in control of so many things all around you, and that, you know, poor God is just looking to break through, but he can't break through all these demonic hordes without your help. Listen, this is almost, an Eastern mystical worldview where, you know, it's 50% God and 50% Satan, and, you know, you make the difference. I guess you're the 50.1% or whatever, and it's just wrong. Satan cannot do and does not do anything beyond what God allows him to do, what he permits him to do, in fact, what he has ordained for him to do. So I don't like any of that stuff, the sovereignty of Satan, the kind of almost attributing things to Satan that are true of God, that he's everywhere, that he knows everything, that he's, you know, our implacable, ever-present enemy. We are our own worst enemy, if the truth be told. Since the 1980s, Bonnke has been a visible friend of Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn. Danger, Will Robinson. Both strongly associated with prosperity teaching. What is that teaching? That teaches this, that if you give money, God is pleased with you and will bless you. And you notice this, you have to give to get, right? They say, well, if you want to get a big blessing from God, you have to sow a big seed. why do people do that? Why do people believe that? Well, they'll take a verse out of context and they'll expound upon it. And then what they do is they say, you know what? If you really want God to bless you, guess what? You need to give money to this ministry. That's the message. And so how do people like Kenneth Copeland, how do people like Benny Hinn, how do they get rich? Because people hear that, and especially older people who are desperate to find a way out of their sin problem, think that by giving money, they can do that. So they give and they give and they give. They want God's blessing on their life. They want to, you know, they want God's blessing for their children or their grandchildren. So they just keep writing those checks. And these people make a ton of money. Article goes on to say Copeland, Kenneth Copeland, has become has been CFANS, again, that's Bunky's organization, his largest financial partner, beginning with an $800,000 donation for a massive tent in 1984. $800,000 in 1984. We're talking 30 years ago. I mean, in today's money, that's what? That's at least two, three times that. I mean, that's a ton of money. Bonnke does not espouse and name it and claim it theology. He believes that God chooses to heal or not heal. This is a quote from Bonnke. When I pray for someone that and that person is not healed, I do not blame it on a lack of faith. Well, good for him. That's what he said in his autobiography. He says, the longer I live, the less I pretend to know about the mind of God. I do not know why some are healed and others are not. I only know that sometimes it is the faith of a sick person that makes them whole, and sometimes it is the faith of others. And if they're not healed, I suppose, then it's just, this is me, then it's just a lack of overall faith. Not enough people believe. There wasn't a faith threshold met. Who knows what the reason would be. While some high-profile health and wealth preachers have eschewed financial oversight, CFAN joined the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. Ministry took in $12,851,000 and change in 2011 and spent $10 million, blah, 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 and change. Ministry Watch, a financial watchdog organization, gives CFAN a 3-star overall efficiency rating out of 5 stars. Reports that the average cost of a crusade is $900,000. $900,000 to do one of these things. Now, anticipation for miraculous healing follows Bonnke wherever he goes. He emphasizes healing for the ill, diseased, and disabled. Now, the article goes on to say, here, listen, skeptics deride the come and receive your miracle aspect of Bonnke's ministry as deceptive. One of the more controversial healings was the reported resurrection from the dead of a Nigerian pastor. This pastor's wife took his body to a nearby Bonnke-sponsored prayer service where pastors prayed and massaged his body. He suddenly revived 3 days later. Since then, this pastor has resumed his ministry, including speaking at Bonnke events. Some people call me a healing evangelist. I do not like that. I define myself as a salvation evangelist who also prays for the sick. Wherever we go, 95% of the meeting is a clear preaching presentation of the gospel, which I doubt. I doubt that there's much about sin in it. I haven't heard him in a long time, but I seriously doubt that. I've seen enough of these things to know that sin is woefully underplayed. Here's a little sidelight from the article, talking about the Orlando thing. After hundreds of people turned in their decision cards on the first night of the crusade, Bonnke invited his associate to come forward and pray for the sick. His associate's name is Kalinda, is the last name. Kalinda welcomed to the platform several people who said they experienced healing, including one woman whose eyesight allegedly went from 2,200 to, or 2,400, 4,000 to 2,200. Here's the thing. While I do not dispute that God can do miracles, and you've heard this over and over again on our show, we do say that these kind of things are probably not true. Again, if he has this kind of ability, why not go to the children's hospital? Why not go to the cancer ward? Why does it have to be in a big tent and a big thing where they're selling t-shirts and making all this money? Why all that? The gospel is this. Know that you are a sinner in need of a savior, that you violated God's laws. You need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his resurrection, God bless.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.